Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We've got another great lineup for you today. But I want to start off because I wanted to make a few announcements, and I've asked Jessica to join me here as well as Benny and Jacob. For those of you that have heard the rumors that we will be moving from this time slot, that is correct, but not on TTR. So I want to just make the announcement because this is our 20th year anniversary with KKNW. And without my relationship with KKNW, I wouldn't be here talking with you. But in the 20 years I've been here, I have been waiting for a drive time. And of course, Conscious Talk had that slot. But recently, we've been made aware that now available to us as we expand and we grow as a network, as we launch new channels, we will be moving to the 7 a.m. on Monday and 7 a.m. on Wednesday time slot on KKNW. It doesn't change a single thing for Transformation Talk Radio or how you can listen to us at different times. But it's an important first move for a lot of us for a lot of reasons. And I have Jessica, right? Jessica, this is, what do you want to call it when people start to make these changes? They're like phases. It's almost like a phase one, but it's like something that I've been working towards for 20 years, right? And here it is.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if you'll say this about yourself, so I'll say it, is there's a powerhouse behind Dr. Pat and something you've wanted to do with your platform for a long time, and making a shift like this also is an energetic shift, but also an awesome time shift for you to be able to do that and see a lot of really cool new ways to do your show.
Yeah. And I wanted you to come on here because I want to be able to now talk about what we're doing and the changes we're making, because we have talked a little bit about it and what we're doing with the network, but I think they've heard it from me. I wanted you to come on to tell folks what you have been doing, you know, as sort of the genius behind this, and Linda as well, and others on the team, to really craft, you know, what we're doing with the Transformation Network, because that too will be changing sort of, what did you call it? Energy?
Yeah, it's a new energy for all of it, and it's expansive. And, you know, I think people on here have probably heard you talk about the new channels, the new technology for years. And we've been, you know, this is my new favorite term for this kind of stuff, microdosing these kind of things with testing the waters and seeing what's out there. And we've been very carefully planning it to do it not only technically right, but energetically right. It has to be the right time, and the world's ready for it now. And so we go from podcasting to live streaming TV with a whole new interface, ways to interact and connect with our hosts, very niche channels. So, and all solution based, depending on if you're interested in conscious business or health and wellness or LGBTQ or equity and diversity or recovery and addiction or women's health or spirituality. And so we're going to direct people to very specific content in a way that allows them to do it live, TV, and podcasting.
And, you know, for me, Jessica, thank you for so beautifully saying that. It takes a village, and it took a village, and it will take a village. And as a result of that, I will have to say one thing I'm very happy about, unless Benny, something has changed. I still get to hang out with Benny. It's just like our eyelids are probably not as wide open, but.
Yeah, a lot of surgeries.
I was still like, you know, going to stay in there. And for those of you that are asking, will I do Monday through Friday at 7 a.m.? The goal is yes. We're not going to come out of the gate like that. Monday and Wednesday for sure on KKNW. And then we'll add Tuesday on TTR. So my platform will still stay consistent, but it will be no longer be at the 10 to noon spot Monday through Friday. And it was one of the hardest decisions, Benny, I have ever made regarding this. And I've made some doozies. But it is in the spirit of not just growing and expanding to grow and expand. Jessica, let's talk to this for a little bit if we could, because we got to be where we are because our hosts and co-hosts told us, didn't they?
Absolutely. I had a conversation with somebody last week about this, and she's like, what was the genius business plan behind growing this network? And I just laughed and I said, you know, Dr. Pat's a woman with a genius business organizational development background, but that's actually only part of what built this. What built this was listening to what people need and what people want and acting intentionally around it to make sure that they have the support system in place to not only get their message out to the world, but really do it in a way that honors who they are and how they want to do it.
Yeah. I was working with somebody the other day, a business person who said to me, we don't get it. I mean, we understand why you're doing it, but what does it do for you? And I said, well, wait a minute. It's never been our intention to only do things for us. And they always pause and they look at you oddly, like who else could you do it for? And I said, what I've noticed in a 20-year industry, and especially being one of the first podcasters, and digital format. I mean, I was doing digital format in 2003. So what is digital format? It's called internet, right? So it wasn't called digital. It was just called internet, like internet radio, right? But here's what I love about this one. Now that we're reflecting back, getting ready to raise funds through crowdfunding for AI for the Soul. But here's what I said to them. I said, you know, it's very easy to build what we build if we only have us in mind. I said, but that was never our intent. We have built technology that we could call up the people that own KKNW and any talk radio network on the planet and say to them, how would you like technology that will cut your effort, increase your distribution, and make it user-friendly for your host? And by the way, if you're all in for that, then what you might be able to do is have it up and running in 48 hours. And when you say that to people, they say, what would be up and running? What would be up and running, Jessica?
An entire interface, an entire dashboard, an entire website, back end, front end, all of it. That goes into what you see as a user when you go to any online streaming network.
Yeah. And so it had to be both for us. It had to be, how do we spread positive talk through individual channels, but how can we help some of the networks? So many of we've seen them go away because they didn't have the technology. I've watched this in 20 years. I've watched positive talk, spirituality, you name it, whatever you want to call it, human potential, not just go away. But I think what we've also watched them do, not be able to begin. How many people, Jessica, have we talked with that have come to us and said, we want our own channel? And they just have not been able to make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I in the past year, we have put feelers out there for what people want. We know the channels people want. We know the other people would want to start their channels. What excites you, Jessica, from where you sit? And by the way, Jessica is one of our senior executive producers. As I said before, she and I have spent many nights debating, arguing, and then implementing what this technology should look like. And we're actually going to do one more change. But she's also the head of our sales and marketing organization. And she is the leading expert on our team for how to run things, how to change things. And she will be developing a new staff of people because we are going to be hiring producers. But what excites you most as you sit here today, even after the little call we had this morning, what are you seeing shifting and changing? And what are you most excited about?
The ease. I think the ease in which all of this comes together and how easy it will be as a user to get the app, to bookmark something, to follow your host, and how easy it'll make it for our host to access and market their own stuff. I think of all the things, as entrepreneurs, everybody's busy and overwhelmed. And even as users, we're flooded with stuff all the time, and it has to be easy. And for me, this feels easy.
It does. And I'm already getting text messages, so I will clarify for those of you that are just like already just lighting this thing up here. First of all, I can't thank this audience enough. You have been extremely loyal. You're the best audience on the planet ever. And effective Monday of next week, we will be moving from the 10 to noon spot on KKNW to 7 a.m. on Monday and 7 a.m. on Wednesday. And we will continue to be adding more shows as time comes available in that drive time spot. It is something we're really excited about because this is our flagship. We here grew this out of the Pacific Northwest, and we want to continue to grow it and support all of the cool things here, all of the businesses, all of the people. And that's why we're making the shift. And thank you to Eric Crema, Benny, all of the people at KKNW for working with us to make this happen and to bring it to reality in conjunction with everything we're doing. See, a lot of times, Jessica, you can put something like this together and it never works out where everybody gets the win. This is a big win-win, isn't it?
It's an infinite win, as they say.
You heard it first right here. Jessica Henderson, senior executive producer, and so much more. When we come back, we have a very special guest that's going to work with us, because here's what I want you to know. Our programming has helped millions of people worldwide. I don't even know what our website hit thing is anymore. I just know we have to grow, because every time we get a real popular weekend, we go down. That is going to stop in about a month. We're going to come back and ask y'all for help. Eric is going to work with me so we can get that message out. But the thing you all should know is this change doesn't diminish our commitment to providing you with the best positive media that we can. If anything, it raises the bar for all of us. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get down to some things we need to do and learn from the mystical, from the magical, when you enact a vision. Thank you, Sari. We'll be right back.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on transformationtalkradio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit elizabethannecunningham.com and subscribe.
There is divinity within you. Join Lisa Belth on her show, The Unshakable Living Show, Supernaturally and Divinely Unshakable, twice a month, and find that divinity that you deserve. Lisa will help you feel encouraged, empowered, and realize that you're not alone on your journey. With Lisa, address the foundation, the frame, and the finish of your dreams and become truly unshakable.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart, because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in. Have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Everybody, wow. Thank you, and welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. For many of you, you may have heard the announcement. We're going to make sure you play it again, but I will tell you that I am so influenced by people like my guest today. And actually, it was through reading her book over the weekend and really leaning into what she was saying where I made the decision this morning to make that announcement. See, because I was really unsure. I was really uncertain. And then I get her message, her book, her passion, her wisdom in my hand. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get somebody like Sarah Bertrand in your space, energetically and otherwise, when you look at feminine myth, magic, and mysteries, and you start to not just read it, but you're looking, you're on her website and you are looking into those eyes. You're just looking at that. And you're like, okay, what you realize is there is a pathway, there is a purpose, and there are infinite possibilities. But what do we need to know from this award-winning author on feminine wisdom, storyteller, spirit keeper? What is it that we are going to learn and know today by her latest genius work, Spirit Weaver, Wisdom Teachings from the Feminine Path of Magic? Saren, thank you so much for today. It's so great to have you here.
It's amazing to be here. I'm excited to weave some magic with you.
Well, okay. So hello, you already did. I mean, I prep for the shows. So I know they send me all these questions, but I read the book. And I can't remember where. I'm hoping I find it as we go through. But there was something I read that had to remind me of something that I can't even explain. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to that? Because we feel things, we know things. And in order for you to show up and be you in this world, you have had to get past a whole lot of challenges and a whole lot of obstacles, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What was that ride like for you?
Riding a dragon. And then I became the dragon.
But let me ask you this question, and your book really does a beautiful job of explaining this to people. Whether you're reading from the domestic nature of creating your nest, or the one that I think, the chapter that I think I read, and maybe you can talk to it as we go on today, is this idea of rooted power and then endarkenment. I was so in awe by reading this as I hesitated and I was going to make the announcement. Tell me about what this beautiful pathway and what this idea of spirit weaving does. Because one of my totems is a spider.
Okay.
And it was given to me when Sidonia Cahill, my mentor, right before she passed away, suddenly, she said, Pat, you will not get this for a while, but you are going to learn that you are the weaver and the weaver and the web are one. Now, I was still in school, didn't start the network. But this is also what you're saying too, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. So the title of the book is Spirit Weaver. and it's about feminine magic. And so what we often find is that, you know, we hear a lot about magic in the world, and even if we're not a believer in magic, we're watching it on our movies and our TV shows. So we are infused by the sense that there is a magic available in the world. But often that magic has a masculine kind of dimension to it. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That's amazing and brilliant too. But what it often misses is the special magic of the feminine, which is deeply connected actually to embodiment and to earth and to the cycles and to this sense of inner knowing. And it's like an instantaneous knowing, and it doesn't always make logical sense. And this is where the weaving web comes in. And I love the parallels between this, you know, gray metaphor, spiritual metaphor, and the internet, the interweb, that there are these webs or these threads of magic and information and fate that behind the scenes or kind of on a level of reality that we don't always have access to, are spinning into being entire worlds and possibilities. And what we have to learn to do is tune in to that possibility that's already there. It's kind of already being woven into being. And you know, and that's what makes it graceful or easeful, because part of the path of magic is we're not doing everything ourselves in this like huge struggle. That's like a very kind of mundane world way of thinking, that we have to work hard and, you know, we have to take all these logical steps. And of course, hard work and having a plan and a vision, all really important. So we're in no way diminishing those masculine qualities. But it's this feminine intuition and this feminine magic that allows us to take those quantum leaps. Yeah. And really at this time, that's what we're looking for, is to tap in to that wisdom that's going to make kind of tune us into the miracle frequency.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what we really need to look at exactly in your words, because, you know, let me throw this out. What is the one thing that derails this in a nanosecond, right? Now, I'm going to tell you what it is for me. I'm sure it's not the only thing. Okay. I'm sure you're going to give us a list.
Yeah.
But because of the way you wrote this book and because of the things you put in the book, this thing I'm about to say to you, I jacked that up and I flipped that around this morning and I just kicked it out of my house. It's called doubt.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
People say, doubt, isn't it fear? I said, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know that, but I'm telling you it's doubt. The minute that I have an idea or vision, the minute I read a book like this and I'm all into it, I already in the knowing, I know I'm going to make the announcement, I know I'm going to meet about it. It's like coming home.
Yeah.
Doubt is the party crasher.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that in feminine magic we do is we all have this doubt. And I think no matter how much spiritual work we've done, it's not something that goes away. So this is, again, something in feminine magic is this sense of alchemy. It's not about being this perfected being who never has a negative thought. It's how you work with it. So, and actually, usually the bigger our vision gets, the bigger our work gets, the bigger the doubts get. It's kind of one of those spiritual truths that the more energy we're holding, the more of that other energy and how we weave and work with that. And so for me, one of the things with doubt is to welcome it to the table. Let it sit down at the table, let it have its business meeting, let it make its points. You know, doubt always wants to raise some, like, it's like your business manager who's, you know, But don't embody that doubt. Don't let that doubt become you as if it's your truth. Let it have a place at the table, listen to it. And then, you know, and sometimes doubt does bring up some questions that can actually help us make things more streamlined and more efficient and you know, kind of alert us to things that need fine-tuning. But ultimately, we ask these, you know, negative emotions, doubt, fear, uncertainty, lack, you know, we gather them, we make a pot of tea, we let them, we give them space to have a contribution, and we say thank you. But then we come back in to our body and our body knowing and trusting that. And so I think that is, in a way, the magical art, allowing those voices to have a space. Because often if we really just push them away, they kind of come back. But then having the techniques or the trust to say, I've heard you, and yet still I believe and I trust and I am making this quantum leap. And I always say, it's like, I imagine it, it's like our mother mind and then our thinking mind. It's like, it's kind of like we make it a cup of tea and we give it a few biscuits and we pat it on the head and reassure it.
Yeah, I love this, because I was reading this in your book and I love the metaphor you just used, because here's my bottom line after reading your book, where I came to about that doubt. And I'm going to apologize in advance, because it's not very sexy, but this is what hit me. It's like, okay, you're invited to the table, but you cannot have seconds. Doubt cannot have seconds. You cannot come back and get yourself another big plate of meat. No.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that's it. It's to be very, it's kind of to have boundaries with these voices. And, you know, and sometimes they're in our head and sometimes they're in our family systems or cultural systems. You know, we can't live in a, you know, a vacuum. So we can engage with these things, but we have this boundary. And magic is all about boundaries. So this is one of the things I love about embodiment. Yeah. Feminine magic is all about creating the container, having the boundary. So, you know, for people who know basic magic, drawing a circle, the magic circle is the first act of magic. You're creating a container and a boundary, and then all the magic happens in there. And even though the voices might be tapping on the window outside saying this will never work, you know, it's like you've created your magical container, and that is it's like an energetic womb space that's going to grow something incredible in your life.
I love it. And I love the way you've gone through this. First of all, for those of you just tuning in, you know, I want you to meet Seren Bertrand. And you can go to the website, and it's SerenBertrand.com. When you go there, look, you're going to find the books, you're going to find the essays, but you're going to find much more. This is what I love. If you go to the website, click on the feminine magic button. There's a button right on our homepage. And what you're going to find, and I dare you not to be able to look into her eyes for anything less than like 10 seconds, but click on the button. What you're going to find is what we're talking about. And there's so much more. And I got to congratulate you for the awards you're winning, but I'm not surprised. I wish I could say we were surprised. So here's the next thing I want to chat with you about. Why am I not surprised? So Benny has heard me mention this a million times. The precursor to the conversations and the writing of the book started about 2 decades ago when our pop culture started to change. How did it change? Game of Thrones would not be the hit it was if it came out today. Game of Thrones and anything related to this in the pop culture, and I use pop culture, but it's, let's say, mainstream. There were just some changes that happened that the divine feminine had a chance to really wake up and ignite. Now, why do I use that as a reference? Because it says that your book, your message, isn't for a small group of people like it was 20 years ago or even 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. It is for the message that people can't wait to get their hands on. What do you think has changed? What do you think Spirit Weaver would love to tell us?
Well, what I think from a metaphysical perspective is that in 2012, we actually moved into a feminine energy dimension, the whole world, and we're just catching up now. And so a lot of these kind of crazy shifts that we're seeing in the world and the chaos, and of course, we know that one of the ways that the feminine spins and weaves her magic is through chaos. Chaos creates possibility, and the linear mind love certainty. But if you're on a timeline and that it's certain and progressing, but you want change, you have to enter a time of chaos for a new possibility to emerge. So from my perspective, as you know, many spiritual traditions have foretold, 2012, there was a huge energy shift. But for me, that energy shift was that a feminine energetic, and it's taken over the world, and anything that can't really flow with that is kind of moving into more chaos in order to find a deeper possibility. So I think that there's a purpose in the chaos. And then this kind of feminine magic, this feminine energy is rising, and it's finding its place and finding its balance.
You call it, okay, paraphrase, I'll try to find it, but I don't think I'll find it. But when you come in, you open the book, first chapter, maybe introduction, you say, welcome inside the great weave.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that, because I want to talk to you about it, because the great weave and spirit keeper, right? When you look at them like this, they're like this. But when you look at them like this, they're like this, right? Yeah. People can't see me. Okay, so I see you on video, so they don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, I want people to know the depth and the breadth of the energy of looking at the weaver and looking at the spiritual path and really looking at this idea of spirit keeper, because it's almost like this beautiful, perfect storm of consciousness and abundance.
Yes, yes. Yes. And you know, one of the things that I feel is like the beauty of the weaving, let's say, is we're not actually in control of it or directing it. And you know, as humans, we're never very comfortable when we can't control and direct things. But the weaving is this great magical dimension that we live in and is creating magical possibility for us. And then when we're a spirit keeper of that weaving, what we're committing to is that we are going to, I always say, we hold our thread. Right. It's not our job to do the whole weaving. You know, that is the weaver's job. But our job is to know what our thread, our piece is in the weaving, and to hold and keep that. And for me, that's really important, because we live in a world now of overwhelm, you know, and everyone's like in other people's threads, in essence. And I think, again, that's a really important thing of discernment. And, you know, and so for everyone listening right now, it's just to think, and, you know, it'll come in a click. What's your thread in this weave? And it's usually what brings you joy, what you love doing, what synchronicity happens around it, and that in your life, no matter where you go or what you do, this thing always pops up. It's like I always say, it's calling to you. It won't let you off the hook. And that's your thread. That's the magic that you're here to keep in the world. And you don't have to worry about everyone else's magic.
I love this. You know what? Because what you just described and what you created and what we're calling a book, This is so much more than a book. I almost feel a little bit embarrassed to refer to this as a book. And of course, your publisher will probably send me a letter, but it is a book, but it's so much more than that. Robust is an understatement, but I love what you've done because you're giving us a situation. You're giving us information. You're giving us, this is the myth around it. You're giving us solutions. You're giving us rituals. I dare to say that you probably think you've left something out. That's probably going to be your next body of work.
Absolutely.
This had to be downloaded to you.
Yes.
Was it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel, so I'm a professional writer as well. I've been writing for two decades now.
Wow.
And I was a trained journalist before that. And I was a reporter on human rights. So I often feel like these ideas choose people who are trained writers because, you know, that's our craft. And what I've known about books or ideas is it's like they're like babies. They have a soul and they choose their mother. And then they download into the mother, and then you grow and gestate them and nourish them and then birth them out into the world. And, you know, and it's funny that you say this about the book, because when I create a book, I never, ever hold a vision of the book as like kind of bits of paper with words on. I always see it as a home or a chamber or a mansion. And that when people open the first page, it's like they've opened a door.
Yeah.
And they've gone into a world, into a dimension. And, you know, the first few chapters are when someone greets you and makes you a cup of tea and then ushers you to different rooms where you can have different experiences. And for me, that's how I see books. And I feel that's a medicine book rather than an entertainment book.
It is, no question about it, because, you know, when I took a look at this, and I told you this, I took a look at it. I don't know if it was last night, whatever time it was before this morning. Mm-hmm. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was in this place that you just described, which I couldn't redo it. But it was almost like a place of knowing exactly what I needed to get up and do, what I was going to look at, right? What my next step is. And without making an announcement of things, just doing it. But I love this. There are so many things for the feminine magic and the feminine energy and the feminine spiritual path, whatever we want to call it. Mm. And I tell people, look, pick your own name for whatever it is you're on. We're just putting some ideas out there. But you nailed something in the chapter on, let me just pull it up, in the chapter on rooted power. And I've got to talk to you about this, because if we as feminine entities don't get these three myths right, we are doomed. And I need to just talk to you about them, and then we'll talk about the rest of the book.
Okay.
Myth number one, this is so paradoxical for us. Mm-hmm. OMG, if I didn't have a dose of this morning, needs are wrong, lower, unspiritual. Now, that's a myth. So that is not a truth.
That's not true. It's not true.
It is our Achilles heel, I think, in so many ways.
You know, I think for a really practical kind of experiment for people listening, take a plant, you know, and don't water it. Every time you walk past it and you see it wilting, say, no, you don't need water. You have no need, you're a spiritual plant, and watch it wilt and die, you know, or then give it the water that it needs and watch it come to life and bloom and fulfill its potential. And, you know, women were in this, you know, place where we've been trained to fill everyone else's needs whilst in a dimension that we shouldn't have any needs. And that's unsustainable. And I almost think that's kind of metaphorical for Mother Earth. Like, she has needs too.
Exactly.
She's not just this infinite resource that we can take from. Mother Earth herself, like us, has needs. We need to know about our needs, and we need to know about our planet's needs. This is crucial in these times.
You know, and the reason I bring this up, I was talking with somebody the other day who commented on what we call the New Thought movement. I never called it that, you know, because I never understood what that meant. But this thing number two here, this was so big in it, and it caused a lot of people a lot of pain. And it's the second myth here in this one chapter. We should always be unconditionally loving.
Yeah.
That right there has caused more women to put themselves in physical harm, mental harm, spiritual harm. You get what I'm saying right here with this one?
Absolutely. And again, we just look to nature. So a big part of feminine magic is we have a great teacher, right? You know, here, nature. So if you think that, you know, there's, you know, this unconditional love, try and take a bear cub from its mama bear in the wild, and you'll soon see how unconditionally loving that mother is to you. You know, that bear mama will go hard to put a limit and a condition that you do not go near her bear cub, you know. So again, a really big part of feminine magic. And again, this is where we've been missing this balance. It's not to say there is not a place for the idea of a really beautiful infinite love and a God or a source that's full of unconditional love. The issue comes when there's not this balance of feminine wisdom that says, but you in this finite human body, right? You have to have conditions and boundaries. You can't be just this unconditional font of acceptance for every kind of behavior. This is not the way of wisdom or magic.
I'm going to read this for everybody that's scratching their heads right now, because this one sentence right here in this part of the book, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say this. I'm going to say it. And it's under the common sense.
Okay.
It says, it is true that there is a universal love that permeates all of creation. Yet in the embodied manifestation of life on Earth, conditions are actually included within its love.
Yeah.
I hand wrote that out on a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. It's like love. I will say power is the structure of love. And part of being in your power is having access to these qualities like discernment, boundaries. And that's part of love. That's part of a loving creator who wouldn't create a world where you didn't have the energy reserves to just infinitely meet needs of other people, you know. So yeah, exactly. And you know, and in the Egyptian tradition, that was Ma'at. She held the sacred balance. So we can see this in the old traditions. This is not just like a new idea. All the old traditions, in the Celtic tradition, it was sovereignty, the land goddess, who chose the king based on his wisdom to keep things in balance and to make the law, to make the rules that kept everything in balance.
And I'm just going to mention the last one, and then I want to spend the next time of having you share the insight and wisdom of the book, because I think these three are important. This is another one. I call these potholes. I know I've stepped in them. Maybe I'm not the only one on the planet, but no, I think you may have too. And it's this other one that we went through that really, I think this is the one that if we were to follow this myth, we would learn nothing from our failures or mistakes, whatever you all want to call it. There is nothing broken. Everything is perfect. I tried that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got a disease in 2004 overnight.
Mm.
And I tried this is all good. Now, what I've learned from it, though, is how to take what was going on and look at my vibrational energy and use discernment. But this thing, everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. Man, try to say that to a woman's been raped.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, it's this paradox. There's this real paradoxical energy in the feminine mysteries. On a really vast cosmic scale, there is a sense of that there is a greater energy holding even our deepest struggles and wounds. But on a very practical level, and feminine magic is all about embodiment, is you can break things. And sometimes they can be fixed, and you know, sometimes they can't. Yeah. And so this is what we have to get this as a matter of an emergency for ourselves and the planet, is that, you know, we can't be like teenagers rampaging around, you know, breaking things because it's all perfect and it doesn't matter anyway. And it's all in a divine plan. It's like, no, all the old traditions have said that we are guardians and custodians. We preserve things. We create the conditions for things to thrive. And when something gets broken, we accept that was a breakage, and that's where grief comes in, you know. Yeah. Honoring and lamenting and mourning and grieving, not to get stuck in that place, but just to, as a stage or a cycle we move through until we go into a rebirth cycle.
I want to thank you your publisher for allowing the inclusion of imagery. Mm-hmm. Of doing images,
yeah.
Of doing almost magic card like, right?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
I'm all over that. Because as I moved on to the rest of the book, what I realized is those three myths opened up the door for every little bit of healing that you then offer throughout the book.
Yeah.
Right? Because the book really is, in my opinion, it is the place you go, whether you go to this page or you go to this page or you're drawn to this page or that page, you're going to heal something, aren't you?
Yeah.
Aren't we?
And you know what? The art also serves a magical feminine purpose, because often we read something and, you know, we have to sit with it. We can't just rush onto the next page and the next idea. Again, it's the sense of like not taking too much on, but allowing time for things to digest and land. And so one of the purpose of the artwork is that you can be reading things and having energy in the book that's really like stirring. And then you come to an image, and for a moment you can rest in that more feminine magical consciousness. Because as you're looking at the image, which is by a really wonderful artist in the northeast coast of England, and your brain kind of relaxes a bit, that thinking mind just rests into the art, and you get information from the art on this intuitive level, and then you can go back into the words and the ideas.
Yeah, I got fixated on an image that came in the chapter, chapter 29, Healing Sacred Feminine Rituals, Yoni Temple. Yeah. And at the end of that, like if you go through, I just could not take my eyes off the image.
Yeah.
You know, and it was beautiful, beautiful image. So much detail, so much symbolism, you know, bringing the animal nature's tree of life, you know, bringing the divine spiritual mind in the flow of it. I mean, this one image, I stayed with this last night, I think for an hour.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You know, I looked at it, I had to make it larger, and I thought, wow, so powerful. Because isn't imagery as well healing?
Exactly. And you know what? I'll just weave in a little bit of brain science here for us. So what I touch upon in this book, but in other writings I've done, I touch upon cerebellar consciousness. And the cerebellum it's kind of demoted as the primal or primitive part of our brain. It's in the back of our head. But what science is now discovering is that this is the part of our brain that is responsible for art, music, movement, feelings, relationship. And a way to think about the cerebellum is that if you've ever driven across town and you get somewhere and you can't remember driving, right? So who was driving? Who was driving you when you were like in your imagination, daydreaming, thinking about something? Your actual cerebellum is your mother mind. This mother mind processes like millions more information in every second than the thinking mind. It's like the mother of us, in the same way that if you were to have a crisis that, you know, that you know, your life was under threat, what happens is that mother mind, that cerebellum, shuts down your thinking mind to take over, to save you. And that is also where we can access magical powers. So, and so looking at art, listening to music, meditating, all these modalities or magical things where, you know, it's almost like our brain softens and relaxes, yes, and we shift from this very focused way of being into this back brain magical. You know, this is when we can really absorb a lot of information and insight. And even if we were not aware of it in the moment, it's kind of downloaded in us and it's become a spiritual guide to us. And it's like evolving us, and it will kind of come into our life and let us know the direction to take.
I love that. I mean, for those of you all that are just tuning in, I just want to make sure you all know, because we've just been going, having a great conversation with Saren here. Saren, I want to make sure people know how to get a copy of the book. Can you tell folks the best way to do that?
So you can get the book at innertraditions.com, and they actually mail all across the world. So that's probably the best option. Of course, it's on all the Amazons as well. And it's also at Barnes & Noble on their website as well. So there's plenty of ways to get hold of it.
I want to invite you back. And Linda will make sure that happens.
Okay.
Because this is part one.
It is not possible.
I mean, people can go to your podcast. They can hear more about this, but there's so much in here. Everything from the fact that you really explained 2020 to me when you got to the part about Lady Saturn, because I have my sun and three planets in Sagittarius, and I have my moon and three planets in Capricorn.
Okay.
And so I didn't put this together, this Jupiter Saturn thing. Mm. But the way you put it together went beyond the astrological version of it. I know we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough for joining me here today. I made my promise and we did not take breaks, everybody. What would you love to say to us? And please, I hope you'll come back. Thank you so much for this beautiful weaving that we're calling a book.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to be here and chatting with you, and to feel, you know, how you've interpreted the magic in the book is, and that's part of it. You've kind of put your own threads in it and created, you know, your own magic with it. And so it's, I always think they're like, books are like collaborations.
They are. And what I come away with this is, this is for me a web that includes the invisibility of consciousness, the invisibility of what you can and cannot see in magic. Mm. It combines it with our capacity, which is infinite, to do anything we can consciously come to. And then the third thing is how it moves you into action without you even knowing. But isn't that magic?
Of course. And you know, the magic of the weave is that even us being here today and everyone listening, that's part of the weave. That's no coincidence.
Yeah. We will have you back, because I do want to get to a part two. And the part two that I would like to invite you back is to talk about, when we look at all this together and we look at where we are in the world today, how it provides this beautiful collage for people to be able to shift, change, rise above, move ahead, and don't give up on your dreams.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you for that reminder.
Thank you.
What a very special body of work. It is a book. Please, you can get it on Amazon. You could get the Kindle version. I think there's actually an audio version. So everything is here. But most importantly, when you get your hands on it, everybody, you can open it up. You'll see a page. You'll see a poem. You'll see a quote. You'll see a message. Don't be afraid to take it in, because the weaver and the web are one, aren't they?
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a short break. I want to thank all of our friends at Inner Traditions. I want to thank Saren for coming on today. I want to thank her for not being afraid to take a very powerful message that we need in the world today. And I want to thank all of you for being the best audience on the planet. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.